38 through 40, and it says this. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and to help me. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would take the next few moments and that you would speak to both our hearts and our minds, that we'll leave today different than when we came in. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. How many of you have experienced unfairness in your life? Unfairness. And usually we can figure out that we've experienced unfairness because we say the phrase, that's not fair. That's not fair. Whether we're talking about, and it really the root of this comes to comparing where we are at with somebody else. And we like looking to see where everyone else is. And we look at their relationship and we said, oh, it's not fair. They have a great relationship and mine, sorry, I didn't even have one. Are we looking to see, look at somebody's finances and we say, oh, they have all the money. They've got everything and I've got nothing. It's not fair. We're working hard at our job and we work very hard. We do everything that we're told and it's time for a promotion and we get looked over. It's not fair. All sorts of things we look at, we see that it's not fair all the time. There's people around us, they seem to get all the breaks. Everything right seems to happen for them. And I would say in this day and age where we are at right now, I think we hurt more from unfairness than any other time. You see, we have the ability with our phones and our computers to look up on Facebook just to see how unfair life is, right? We get to live somebody else's life for a moment. We troll through, and somebody said last week, the best thing they learned in last week's message is that the act of scrolling through Facebook is called trolling. So I'm glad that's what they learned last week from my message. But we troll through Facebook, we compare our lives, and it just seems the more we see people, we see where they're at, we see how good everything is going, we look how awful our life is in comparison or in our mind, it's just not fair. Like I said just a few minutes ago, we are getting ready to leave right after church. We're going to be flying to California, and that means that not only were we preparing for church today, and our whole family has roles that we play in getting ready for church, we were also getting ready for a trip. And when you start getting ready for a trip, you got to do lots of extra things. You got to realize, oh, we got to make sure like all the laundry's clean. You can't pack dirty clothes. So you got to do all that. And then when you're packing your clothes, you realize, I don't have enough clothes. And I got to go find clothes. And you're trying to get everything together. You're trying to get the house all clean and everything. And last night, as my wife and I were taking care of some tasks and things, last-minute things we need to get ready, we had the kids at home. And we have no idea what happened, but the end result was that my oldest son's glasses went flying off his head and went in pieces everywhere. So we have the fun challenge on top of everything that not just catching a flight to Milwaukee this afternoon, but we got to get him a whole brand new pair of glasses and hope we can get it all in time. Now, we think we've got an appointment. We think it's going to happen. But you know what? I was sitting there last night as this happened thinking, this is not fair. When it rains, it pours. Come on. It's not fair. We're trying to get everything done. Just what we need. Just another thing. My dad would always tell me, Ryan, life's not fair. And the sooner you figure that out, the better your life will be. And for the longest time, I had no clue what he meant. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Life's not fair, and my life will be better off when I figure out that it's not fair. That seems to be kind of out of my favor. You're laughing because you know it's true. Yep. You see, We are okay with life until we perceive that somebody else got something that we didn't get. You know, we moved into our house just a few weeks ago, and the day after we moved into our house, they came and did the thing we wanted them to do all along, and that is they put beautiful grass around the house. And this was something we really, really wanted because we had noticed that the builders kind of left the yards of people who moved into their houses, and it looked like a war zone on the street. And we're like, we want grass. We want it there. And so the very next day, they, in one day, it was amazing. They just, all of a sudden, we have a lawn, and that's great. And no sooner had they finished and left that afternoon than I got to meet a neighbor. And the neighbor said, how did you get grass? We've been waiting months. We've been in our house for months. How are they prioritizing this? And I'm like, I don't know. But I agree, it's not fair, right? See, unfairness hurts. Life isn't fair. Somebody somewhere said this. The only thing that makes life unfair is the delusion that life should be fair. When I was a youngster, like when I was this tall, I was about 10 years old, and I was excited because my favorite toy to play was G.I. Joe's, the action figures and the vehicles. And I'm surprised my mom, she was very strict on what toys we could play with. She allowed us to play with G.I. Joe's. We could just never own any of the bad guys. I don't know why, but hey, we got to have the shooting up soldiers and everything, just couldn't have the bad guys, so they had to fight against each other, so I don't know if that was better. But anyways, we played with the action figures all the time, and we did all the fun stuff with them. We never did the thing that you probably did where you put firecrackers in little action figures and blew them up. Never did the, yep, I see a hand raised there. I see that hand. I would take them apart, mix them up, put different heads on them, but everything. But I saw a commercial one Saturday morning, and they'd come out with this new vehicle. And when I saw this vehicle, I knew it just had to be mine. You see, it was this Arctic tank that had wheels on the front and tank tracks on the back. It had a missile launcher on top. The canopy would open and two guys could fit in it. It came with the guy who had his own gun. It was amazing. It was called the Snowcat. And when I saw that commercial, I was like, I've got to have a Snowcat. I want a Snowcat. And Christmas was coming up. So I talked to my mom and dad, and I said, I don't want anything for Christmas but a snowcat. Just get me a snowcat. I'll be as happy as I could be. Just get me a snowcat. So Christmas came, and I'm only expecting one present underneath the tree. And to my dismay, there was multiple presents underneath the tree with my name on them because I always looked to see which one was which, you know. Yeah, I was bad like that. And I was opening my presents on Christmas morning, and I'm opening them. Hopefully, is this the snowcat? Oh, it's not the snowcat. Is this the snowcat? No, it's not the snowcat. And it didn't matter what the present was. I was looking for, where was the box for the snowcat? Because I only put one thing on my list, and by the probability and statistics of a 10-year-old, I figured out if you only put one thing, the odds are you're going to get that one thing versus if you put like 100 things on your list. I didn't quite understand how it really works. And I opened all my packages. And guess what was not underneath the tree? A snowcat. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, this isn't fair. I only asked for one thing. You didn't give me the one thing. And they tried to console me. You see, they said, we looked at every store and we tried to find a snowcat, and everywhere we went, they were sold out. So the best thing we could do is the store gave us one of these things called a rain check. I had no idea what a rain check was. I just knew it wasn't a snowcat. And my mom explained that the rain check says we're going to be in line to get one as soon as they get one in, and then you can have one. We're going to get you a snowcat for Christmas, because we know that's what you wanted. And I'm like, this isn't fair. I really imagined my whole day of Christmas Day was going to be spent playing with the snowcat. And now the day was ruined, right? It's just not fair. So every day after Christmas, I would ask my mom, did you call the store? Did they call you? Is this Snowcat Inn? What is this rain check thing? And it went on for week after week and after week. And it must have been the most popular toy of the season because they never got it in. And I kind of just had to deal with the life of a 10-year-old. No Snowcat. My parents tried, but, you know, I didn't give them credit. I really didn't, because it was Snowcat or nothing. And all I could think of was that this isn't fair. So Martha was excited to have Jesus and his disciples come over. She opened her house. She was the hostess. And she thought, you know what? I'm going to put together the best meal possible for Jesus. Jesus is at my house. It's going to be awesome. I got my sister. We're going to plan it all out. And you know they were talking about, you know, what appetizers they were going to have and what dishes they were going to set out. And you know, just think about it. If Jesus was coming right now and he was coming to your house, you'd probably want to get home really quick to start cleaning up, right? And you probably would want to go to the grocery store real quick because you want to buy some things that you don't have in the refrigerator right now, right? And you'd want to put things together because you want it to be right. I mean, it's Jesus. Jesus is coming to your house. And Jesus was coming to Mary and Martha's house. And as Martha was working really hard, she was scrambling, trying to clean up before anyone noticed there was dust and dishes and everything. And she was trying to get the food together, trying to prepare the meal. She's looking around for her sister, and her sister's nowhere to be found. She's like, where is she? I need her help. I mean, because if we work together, we can get this done. And she looks around and she sees her sister Mary. And she's busy sitting by Jesus, listening to him talk. As he is sharing things about God, she's sitting there. And all she can think of, this isn't fair. I would like to be doing that, but we got work to do. I mean, food's not going to make itself. House's not going to clean itself. Everyone's expecting a meal at our place, and all she can think about is that this isn't fair. This isn't fair. You know, when life is unfair, we want a referee. We want somebody to blow the whistle, throw the flag, flag on the play. Wait, we got to fix things here. It's not fair. We see that you've been slighted over here and you've gotten too much, or you both got in trouble, but only you got punished, so we're going to fix this and punish. We want somebody to step in and assess penalties and fix things. And sometimes how we view God, and life isn't fair, we're like, wait, who's looking out for the little guy, which is me? Now, the interesting thing is we don't really care if we're getting all the good stuff. We don't really care if we can't perceive that, hey, life isn't unfair. But as soon as we see that somebody got something that we didn't get, then we say, hey, where's the referee? We want somebody to fix it. We want somebody to make it right. So yesterday I was looking for clothes because apparently I'm going to be gone more days than what I have outfits for. And it's hard to do laundry when you're gone, and so I had to buy clothes. And I've got a problem with all the clothes stores in the area. And maybe you have this problem too, but I found something that is completely unfair. I mean, I found a couple things completely unfair. First of all, if you're a guy and you're looking for clothes, every store has this ratio, 80% women's clothes, 10% something else, and 10% guys' clothes. And women have all the choices and selection. Guys have like, that's it. And let alone, you may look for styles, but then it comes to sizes, and sizes are a whole nother thing. You could grab three shirts that all say they're one size and try them on, and they all fit differently. You could take a pair of pants, and you can say, hey, they're all the same size. I mean, there's a waist size, and there's a length size, and they all say the same numbers, but they don't fit the same. I think that's unfair. I'm crying foul on this. Why can't they standardize measurements and clothing? I mean, they give the illusion that they do, right? they put the little numbers on there, right? Whew. And when you've got to wear a number or a letter that you weren't planning on, flag on the play. We want a referee. We want somebody to make this right. It's not fair. Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, it doesn't seem fair. Doesn't it seem unfair?" I mean, she's trying to be a little political about this. She's like, "I see that it's unfair, but Jesus, do you see that it's unfair? Doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me." And when I read this story right out of Luke chapter 10, I can't help but to laugh. Because this is like, I mean, I see this scenario almost every day in my household with my children. It's unfair. "Dad, will you come in and fix this? Don't you see that it's unfair that I'm doing all the work?" So I went for months without a snowcat. Christmas is in what month? December. In August, it's my youngest brother's birthday. And guess what he got for his birthday? A snowcat. I could not believe it. This isn't fair. I mean, I was supposed to get that gift. I tried to cry foul to my parents. "Wait a second. You meant to give that to me." And they're like, "Well, he asked for it for his birthday, so we got it for his." I'm like, "What?" So I'm like, my little brother's name is Andrew. I'm like, "So you're going to let me play with it?" He's like, "No, it's mine." Wouldn't let me play with it. Didn't have a snow cat. And no, I'm not traumatized. And so I can just imagine the story of Jesus sitting there and he's being interrupted from obviously teaching people, because that's what Mary was doing, was sitting and listening to Jesus teach. And so here's Martha coming in and saying, "Hey, don't you think it's unfair? Tell her to come help me." I can imagine that Jesus maybe rolled his eyes. And if he had this t-shirt, I think he might show it to her. Now, I wasn't very smart when I first saw this t-shirt. I'm like, "I care, awesome." Until I realized, wait a second, I do not care. And I can imagine Jesus just like pulling his robe aside and, "Look, lady, I don't care. Don't get me involved." But she did. She got him involved. The key to relieving the pain of unfairness is to refocus our perspective. Jesus answered Martha, and he said this, verse 41 and 42. He said, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all the details. But there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, I don't know about you, but this is probably a passage of scripture that I have a hard time with. Because at first glance, you see that, wow, yeah, Martha's working hard and Mary's slacking off. And Martha tries to get Jesus to chime in and say, "Yeah, go work." And Jesus' response wasn't backing up Martha, but really saying, "Hey, get your priorities right. What are you doing? Mary's going to keep on doing what she's doing. She's found the good thing. It's not going to be taken away from her." And I look at this and I'm saying, wait a second. You see, I'm the kind of guy that in a church, I think you should work hard. And I think about, man, what can I do to help? And I'm going to work hard because I know the Bible says, work as if you're working for Jesus. So I want to work hard. And I want to say, yes, I've got a lot of faith, but I read in James, it says, faith without works is dead. And I look at this and say, what? Jesus, your response is not fair, because I'm looking at it and saying I should work hard, and I guess if I was to look around our church, and they say that statistically amongst all churches, they throw out this thing that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and that means 80% of the people do 20% of the work. And I don't really care about if that's right or not, but at first glance, this strikes me as not the response. And then we know that people take this passage of Scripture and say, you know what? Jesus is saying that the most important thing you should do is just soak in Jesus. That that's what he was trying to say. And that you shouldn't work hard. And you shouldn't be involved. And you shouldn't do anything because it was this or that. And Jesus picked Mary. And you should try to be like Mary and not be like Martha. And that kind of villainifies Martha, right? That she's got it all wrong. And I want to present to you an alternative way to view this. Because after I've dug into this, I see something else. You see, Jesus' response to Martha was, Martha, you're worried about all the details, all the stuff, and your focus is on that. And Mary has found a different focus. You see, what got messed up with Martha was not the fact that she was working instead of not working, because work has to get done. But it was her perspective while working and forgetting why she was working. She was working to serve a meal, to serve others. And yet all she could think about is there is a lot to do, and this is the task, and this is the ABC, and I got a lot of check marks to go on my list, and I'm not getting the help I need. And her perspective began to be warped. She began seeing that this is a situation that is not fair. And we would think that Jesus would rise to the occasion to say, this is right, this is wrong, and be the ultimate judge. And he didn't. He said, basically, where's your focus, Martha? What are you focused on? And he was not saying Mary not working is what you should be focusing on, but saying that what Mary was focusing on was putting things in perspective. She was seeking after God. The key to solving the pain of unfairness really deals right up here in our heads. Because think about it. Unfairness is not really what happens to you. It's how you compare your life to somebody else. It is your perspective of how you look at things. And Martha had a warped perspective of what was going on. And Jesus said, hey, where's your focus? And our key, if we say that life is awful, or we keep on saying, ah, they have relationships with don't, and their kids are always well behaved and mine aren't, and hey, I wish I could cook, and I wish I had a better job. And we say all these things that we say it's not fair, and really it's our perspective that needs to change in order to fix it. I mean, if you had no idea of what life was going around with other people, you might not find that there's that many unfair things happening in your life. So, after all these years of being traumatized of not getting a snow cat, I decided to change my perspective about it. And I turned it into an illustration that I could speak about it and share with people my story of the snow cats. And I have no idea if my mom listens to my messages or not, but they are online. But I do know that after all these years, she's never said anything. So this is going to be a test if she calls me after this one. But I've basically decided, you know what, I need to forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. They weren't trying to be unfair on purpose. It was me who felt unfair. And really, if I had thought about it differently, I could say, you know, I was happy for my brother that he got a toy that he wanted, and it'll be okay. And so I began using this story as a story that I use as an illustration in speaking. And after one of these times of speaking, The very next Sunday, somebody came with a box. And this box was wrapped up like a Christmas present. And they gave it to me, and they said, Merry Christmas from umpteen years ago. And inside that box was the snow cat. I appreciate it, mainly because my perspective had already changed. That it wasn't the concentration. It's not a reminder of, hey, my parents, they were so unfair to me. And life's so unfair. No, it's, wow. When we change our perspective and our focus, who knows what God will do in our lives? Who knows what will happen? So how do we refocus? How do we change how we look? Because this is something we can do. And the answer we're going to find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. This is our key. Whenever you are faced with a thought of, you see that, oh, I'm trolling through Facebook, and oh, look at their perfect vacation that they're going on, and I can't even afford a vacation. And those thoughts of, it's not fair, come up. Here's what we can do. It says this, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Thank God no matter what happens. We have so much that we can be thankful for. You see, if you find yourself saying it's not fair, if you find yourself being upset and fairness is the root of that, realize the key to solving that is to start saying, not concentrating on what I don't have, but what I do have. What has God done for me? Not what he hasn't done for me, but what has he done for me? For not for the money I don't have, but the money I do have, the job I don't have, but actually being thankful for the job I do have, for the friends that I do have, for the relationships that I do have, for the car that I do have, for whatever it is that we say is unfair, switching it up and saying, thank you, God, for blessing me. Thank you, God, for taking care of me. Thank you for providing for me. And it might not be exactly what I thought or imagined, but we never know how God can use that. In the end, you just may get what you wish you had. The Bible says to seek him first. Seek him with all of our heart. And when we do that, he'll take care of us. He'll take care of what we need. He knows what we want. The key to relieving the pain of unfairness is to refocus our perspective. Let's pray. God, as we close up this message series on life hurting, we've looked at quite a few different ways that we cry foul. We say it hurts. And today we looked at that unfairness hurts. When we compare, when we look at what we don't have and we concentrate on that, we lose our perspective of who you are in our lives. And we stop being thankful for what you have done for us, what you have provided for us. God, right now, I know that this is a subject that everyone deals with. This is a pain that everyone experiences at one time or another, especially as we compare. God, I pray that you would help each person in this room right now to be able to let go, to be able to refocus their perspective, that as they are challenged with thoughts of unfairness, that they'll be quick to do what it says in your word, to thank you no no matter what happens. This is how you want us to live. So God, it's our prayer and our response that we would be thankful for what we do have. In Jesus' name.